You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Far over the misty mountains cold.
So rich.
Through dungeons deep and caverns old.
Welcome to Nerd Overload.
Yeah, welcome to Nerd Overload, everybody.
I'm Thorin Oakenshield.
I'm Cody, the sleepiest hobbit.
Samwise, it's the easy one. It's the easy
one.
Hey, thank you all for tuning in this week. We have a great show for you, a bunch of news. But first, let's talk about some things we've been checking out.
Check it out!
Very nice.
Very nice.
For a second there, I thought that was the little sweets Dr. Pepper glam rocker guy from the commercials.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah, I'll have to add that one on there.
You know, I thought we were just goofing. I didn't realize we were actually going to use that as a cold open.
I'm glad we did because I didn't have any ideas.
I didn't have any either.
You're welcome, Ohio.
You mean Toronto. All right, so check them out. I have a couple. I watched Willy's Wonderland.
I forgot about the new
Nicolas Cage movie that we talked about a few weeks ago and how ridiculous it looked and how much fun it was going to be. And I regret to inform you, it is not worth your time.
Oh, no. Oh.
Hey, you know how the Asylum Pictures makes movies that are garbage?
Oh, no, this was one of those.
This movie wishes it was an Asylum film.
Oh, no. Oh,
this movie wishes it were Transmorphers.
Man, I feel like...
Or Atlantic Rim.
No, Atlantic Rim is so bad. It's worse than that.
Nicolas Cage, he is a vacuum of charisma in this.
Wow.
Okay, so the character says nothing through the entire film.
So he's mute.
He's mute. I mean, I think they were trying to go for like the Man with No Name kind of drifter... type character.
Even Clint Eastwood talked a little bit.
Yeah, but Nicolas Cage does not say a word. He has two modes, either completely blank faced cleaning the place or snarling and punching robots, which sounds great.
So he's either janitor or murder man?
Yeah, he's either janitor or murder man. There is no point where, and it just like snaps back and forth between the two. There's no ulterior motive. There's no like secrets like, oh, he was a kid that his parents were some of the first murders at this Chuck E. Cheese. I should roll it back. In Willy's Wonderland, Nicolas Cage's character, who's named the janitor, it's just Nicolas Cage with the finest hair plugs known to man.
Casted the janitor from Scrubs.
Yeah, right. I wish. He breaks down in front of this abandoned, this old, decrepit Chuck E. Cheese
style
place called Willy's Wonderland. The owner says, okay, hey, if you clean it overnight, we'll pay for your repairs so you can go home. Turns out the robots are demonically possessed and this town has been...
So it's a sacrifice.
And the town has been sacrificing drifters for years.
To appease it
for years.
It's
not a bad premise, yeah. But it's lazy. Lazy. Like the main room is maybe no larger than this office, and it consists of a couple of tables that can seat maybe 12 people max, and a ball pit that is just a couple of tables butted up against each other with a bunch of balls thrown in there.
Wow, that's
awful. Then the stage. And that's it.
That's not even how like a Chuck E. Cheese is.
Yeah. And then there's a game room, but they don't really spend any time in there because they couldn't afford to break any of the arcade machines that they had rented to fill out this one scene. So nothing happens in it.
Oh, this is a shame. It's just a shame.
Nicolas Cage is just sleeping through this role. Well, he seems drunk.
Maybe he is.
He seems drunk through most of it.
Maybe he had to be.
Yeah, and like it's
this was his paycheck movie.
And I mean, there's a whole secondary plot with there's a girl from the town whose parents were sacrificed to the robotic monsters.
To Freddy Fazbear.
Pretty much, yeah. years ago, and she wants to try to, you know, end
avenge
it or what,
them.
Avenge it. But she shows up, and Nicolas Cage has already punched in half of them, and just is completely stone faced, like not surprised that the robots are coming to life, not scared that they're demonic, not showing that he knows that he has some prior knowledge of these monsters.
He's not even having a good time. I would want him to be having a good time. I think,
okay, in a movie like this, and where you're going through and there's like five or six of them, I forget, I think there's five of them, and you're going through and it's like it's almost like a video game where you get to the final boss, he faces off against Willy the Weasel, the Chuck E. Cheese,
the mascot,
the showbiz pizza bear of whatever, and you would think that there's going to be some kind of crazy special effects or something
like
different.
All the robots are going to like meld together into a big one. Like,
right. Yeah. Something interesting, because this is the final boss. This is the end. This is the climax of the film. No, he just has a wrench and he hits it in the head a whole bunch while screaming. And then he puts his sunglasses back on and drives away.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Huh.
I was incredibly let down by this film.
At least the Doom Slayer has some personality.
Right? Yeah. And you know what? This movie, it needed someone with personality. It needed someone who, with the quippy one-liners and like the near...
Nicolas Cage can do that.
Well, here's the thing. If Nicolas Cage were doing a Bruce Campbell impression, or better yet, if they had gotten a Bruce Campbell as guy who showed up,
murder monsters.
That would have been perfect, because you would have had the quips. You would have had the first like, what is this? Whoa, and like a little bit of emotion instead of just.
Yeah, it sounds boring.
It was boring. And the visuals weren't even great, because 90% of their budget was obviously spent on getting Nicolas Cage to show up and sober up enough to
do this movie.
To walk through this movie.
That he apparently doesn't even have any confidence in, or he would have been trying.
Yeah.
Because he does.
He does okay.
You can tell when he likes the movie. He'll try.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Like Mom and Dad. He obviously was into that movie.
Yeah. Well, Mandy.
Mandy, yeah.
The Smell of Color or what is that one called?
Oh, the...
Color of Fear or Color of...
Oh, it's the H.P. Lovecraft one.
Yeah.
It was really good.
The
Color Out of Space.
Color Out of Space, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
The Smell of Color.
The Smell of Color.
I like it.
No, the Color Out of Space was really good.
Yeah, it was really good.
The remake of The Wicker Man.
Yeah, he was definitely trying
oh,
something.
Oh, he was swinging for the fences with that one.
Ah, not the bees. They're stinging my flesh.
That scene where he's in a bear costume and he punches that lady?
Yeah.
He was definitely participating.
He was barely participating in this one.
That makes me really depressed.
And, okay, so there's a scene, and this is nitpicking, but there's a scene where he's cleaning up the kitchen and they have a Willy's Wonderland pinball machine in there, like a branded pinball machine based on these fictional characters from the movie, just in the kitchen, and he spends a lot of time, like 5 minutes, playing this pinball machine and showing how cool he is while playing this pinball machine. And the only thing I could think of is the producers or directors or someone knew someone who could fabricate a fake pinball machine, got it, and decided, this is too nice, we can't put it in the game room that we're not going to shoot in, but we have to use this. Well, maybe it's just in the kitchen. Is there going to be a fight scene around it? Well, no, because we don't want to break it. It's really nice. It's a really nice pinball machine.
It really ties the kitchen together.
I'm going to put this in my office after we're done shooting.
This entire movie might be an excuse to get
this pinball
pinball machine. I just...
Based on my Five Nights at Freddy's OCs.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And it's sad, and it reminds me a lot of the Sci-Fi Channel Banana Splits movie they did a few years ago, where it was also kind
gory
of
mess, yeah,
yeah, where it was that. Also kind of.
I've heard that's not the worst.
It's not. I didn't like it, but it's not bad.
They're doing a horror movie with like an old like legitimate like cartoon characters or something. From like the 70s.
That was Banana Splits.
That was the Banana
Splits.
Yeah. The original Banana Splits were Sid and Marty Krofft characters that were
not,
in like
knock
costumes.
Off, I think.
No, they created them, but they were created before Puff the Magic Dragon and
H.R. Puff and stuff.
Sorry, yeah. I thought of the song, not the
and Land of the Lost. And
Lidsville.
Sigmund the Sea Monster.
Yeah, yeah.
Electra Woman and Dinah Cow.
Well, okay, we're going down a hole here. Yeah.
Now I'm just listing Sid and Marty Krofft shows that I can think of.
But from what I understand, that Banana Splits movie, parts of that were taken from a rejected script for Five Nights at Freddy's the movie. Because in that movie, the Banana Splits are robots that go berserk. And it's kind of a similar kind of thing. This one just was.
I'm sorry that was a bad movie because I was excited about it.
What happened to the Five Nights at Freddy's movie? I feel
still
like
being worked on.
They've been working on that forever.
Apparently, filming this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it could be a good movie.
I feel like anything
could.
I feel like anything that's been in development hell for that long, it's not going to happen.
Well,
COVID didn't help.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Well, okay, and the other thing that I checked out this week, I downloaded that Capcom arcade thing on the Switch.
I thought it was fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I played a little bit of Ghosts and Goblins. The rewind feature is really powerful. It's not just a save state. It is a full-blown rewind.
Yeah.
And you can rewind it all the way back to the beginning of your session if you want.
Huh.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Is it the same Ghosts and Goblins that's on the Switch
on
the Nintendo?
No, this is the
that's Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. No, these are ROM ports, basically.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, this one was a free one if you downloaded it before the 25th or something like that. Yeah. And you also got 1942
the
bullet hell plane.
The
game.
One that that every arcade has, but no one wants to play.
I don't like bullet hell games.
I don't either. I don't have the patience to learn how to play them, right?
Yeah, there was. You can buy a couple of like game packs with it. I think if you buy two, you get the third free, something like that.
I found the lack of Street Fighter games to be odd.
There's only
a couple.
There's regular Hyper Fighting and New Challengers.
But it doesn't have like Alpha. It doesn't have like the original Street Fighter.
I think they're going to eventually be put on there. They'll probably go back and put, because I mean, it would be great if they put Third Strike on there. It'd be great if they put, yeah, like you said, the Alpha series or what have you. That would be awesome. And for all I know, they might, but yeah, it's just okay. It's just okay.
It's a serviceable package of ROMs.
Yep.
That's reasonably priced, I think.
If you don't want to build your own MAME cabinet, this is a okay substitution.
It's less work.
It's less work, yeah. Less work and much less money.
I think getting to pick and choose what games you want is a pretty customer-friendly approach.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of stinks that they're bundled and you can't just say, well, I just want 1944.
See, that's kind of what I thought they were going to do initially. They're going to go like, okay, $1.99 a piece or whatever. That still seems a little high, but it's Capcom. That's probably what they would do.
Yeah. Or even if you could just like put $5 in it and get quarters and then go through the arcade and, you know, plunk a quarter in.
Yeah. Oh, sure. That'd be cool.
Just get the experience.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
What it's like.
Yeah. But anyway, that's all I've really done this week. What do you guys have?
Mine kind of blew up on me this week. I decided I was going to check out the Dinosaur Planet game that leaked.
Oh, I sent you that. I sent you that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. One of Rare's Nintendo 64 games, Dinosaur Planet, that was later worked into the GameCube game
Star Fox Adventures. Yeah,
Leaked onto the internet in a mostly playable form. You can almost play it all the way through. I think its playability is kind of being over.
Oh, really?
I can't think of the word. Over.
Overhyped.
Overhyped. Because it doesn't look great. I didn't feel comfortable playing it in that state that it was in. It's gonna take some. I'm sure they'll have a patch for it and hack it up so it works better.
Mm.
But right now there's like a lot of things with like missing textures.
Oh, or, really?
Like sometimes the crystal would just have completely white parts on her for some reason.
I've heard that the N64 emulators are having trouble with it.
Yeah.
And that is a large portion of it.
Yeah, they said it works fine if you have a flash card for Nintendo 64, but I don't have one of those.
Yeah.
I mean, I played it for like 5 or 10 minutes before I was just like, I'm going to wait until they get this working better.
Yeah.
But what I saw was pretty impressive. There's like a lot of voice acting, which is really impressive for Nintendo 64 when they had like, I don't know, like 8 megabytes of RAM.
Right, right. Now, this was after the point where they decided to add Fox into it, correct?
Yeah, he's apparently in there. I don't know. He's not at the beginning.
Okay.
But he shows up, I guess, in this version of the game. So it was like right before they decided to move to GameCube, I guess.
Interesting. Interesting.
And make Fox the main character.
Yeah. Which, of course, the beginning of the GameCube one, he plays Crystal too. So, But there's a whole nother character in there, a boy Fox that's not Fox McCloud that you play as too, I think.
Mm.
But I don't know. I wasn't doing it justice if I kept playing it in that form. Like, I'm sure I could have, and it would have been all right, but I'm like, I don't want to play it in this way. It's not
right.
Yeah, it's not what they intended, although they really never intended us to play it at all.
To release
true.
This game.
But I want to be able to see all the textures.
Sure. No, understandable. That's very understandable.
And the other game I tried was, there's a new demo for System Shock Remake that was a Kickstarter from years ago that was kind of troubled in the beginning because they started making a bunch of money and then they started stretch goaling it way out of control.
A game having trouble on Kickstarter?
Yeah.
I have never heard of such a thing.
But then they were afraid they were going to have to shut the whole thing down, but then they decided, no, we're just going to scale back and like remake the game like we said we were going to do initially.
Okay, yeah.
And it's pretty good, but I got frustrated because I just kept dying, which it's kind of, the original is kind of tough too, but I just wasn't in the mood for it. I mean, it looks great though. Graphically, it's really impressive and it feels even more immersive than the original game, which was already really immersive for its time.
Mm.
Like the original System Shock is an immersive sim where you wake up on a space station that's been taken over by an AI and you have to stop the AI. And this is the same. It's a remake of that. A lot of everything looks almost the same except just better now.
Just better?
Yeah. Like every flat texture on a wall is now a 3D modeled thing. Like,
oh, cool. Very cool.
It's really cool to see it like that. And they've added a lot of character animations, like for that first person. It's a first person game. Mm-hmm. So you get a lot of hand stuff going on that is not in the original because that's way too complicated for the original. Mm-hmm. The original is like from around the Doom times.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
it looks more like it looked more like a Doom or a Wolfenstein.
Yeah. Except it was really complex for then even, but now it's so much more immersive. You see the hands, and like when you get upgrades, the player attaches them to like their cyber gloves or whatever.
So it kind of does like a BioShock kind of thing.
Yes, which this game is the spiritual
predecessor
to BioShock.
Mm.
So it's good to see it get this update that it deserves because the original is a fantastic game. I hope I sit down with it in a better mood and like get further into
sure.
the demo.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I sat down and I'm like, these are my two check it outs. I'm going to check them out. And then both of them were just kind of like, oh, this is not great. This is
well,
not
you
ideal.
Know what? Sometimes you have good ones and sometimes, sometimes you don't.
And it's like both games seem like they're probably great. I just bounced off both of them real hard.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say I bounced off Dinosaur Planet. It's not ready.
Yeah, it's not ready. Putting it back in the oven for a few more minutes.
Yeah, let the hackers get at it, because I'm sure they will.
I'm sure they will, yeah. Josh?
I found on YouTube the Monkey Kid series for that Lego line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that Asian...
They did a series of it?
Yeah, they did an animated series for it.
Oh, cool.
So, for people who don't remember, because I think we might have brought it up before. maybe
we talked about
it. Either that, or maybe we just talked about it amongst ourselves. I don't remember, but long listeners of the show might remember that I do love the Journey to the West and stories of the Monkey King,
except for Monkey Magic.
Ooh, that's Monkey so Magic. Bad.
Yeah, that's the one.
So bad. But anyway, do not pull that song up, please. I hate that song.
Something mountain top.
So anyway, but no, they did I found a trailer for it, and I was like, oh, I wonder. But they actually did a series for this Lego line, the Monkey Kid, which was a line that Lego decided they wanted to do to broaden their market in China.
Yeah, they want that China money. Yeah. Everybody does.
Yeah, everyone wants that China money. And it's actually not bad.
Cool.
It's not very long. It's like the first episode's like 40 minutes, but most of the ones after that are only like 12 to 17 minutes.
That's still pretty long for, it's like a web show, right?
It seems to be that way, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, that's a lot of time for
a
corporately produced web series.
Yeah, but every character has very distinct personalities. There's actually a lot of references to the Journey to the West, either in the background or maybe reimagined into other characters. So basically the story is, years and years and years ago, the Monkey King, Sun Wukong, the actual Monkey King, sealed away the big bull demon, you know, the king of demons or whatever, you know, from the Journey to the West stories.
That's what Bowser is based on.
Is he? I'm not surprised.
Originally, old Bowser.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I always thought old Bowser was more like an evil Kappa.
Yeah,
since the name is Koopa.
Yeah, but the design, like the drawing that Miyamoto does on the original box of the Famicom box for Mario Brothers. The look of Bowser on that is based on the
bull demon.
Yeah.
Okay.
From a specific anime interpretation of Journey to the West.
Yeah.
Okay. But basically, this city springs up around this mountain where this battle happened or whatever, and it's got like this like, kind of techno Hong Kong kind of style to it.
Is it like a Samurai Jack kind of?
Sorta, or like a Ninjago.
Okay, yeah, Ninjago makes sense because that is also
Lego
cyber.
They're cyber
ninja Lego.
They're
yeah.
treading similar ground here.
Yeah, except Monkey Kid is actually like drawn. It's not CGI. It's actually
animated. And it's Lego.
Yeah,
it's drawn Legos. Wow.
Yeah, but yeah, people's like legs bend and you know stuff like that. But,
interesting.
But they still have Lego-esque features. Like, everyone's got amorphous, no fingers.
The claw hands.
It's like the Unikitty show.
Yeah, kind of. But I think it's a little cleaner, actually, in my opinion, than Unikitty. People have square feet, you know, stuff like that. Some people have the Lego yellow skin.
Mm.
You'll see characters like Pigsy is the Monkey Kid's boss. He runs a noodle shop. Like I said, there's a lot of references. It's like I said, it's not a bad show. It's actually pretty enjoyable, I thought.
Have you watched any of that Hell of a Boss?
Yes, I have watched.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so Hell of a Boss is a spinoff of Hazbin Hotel. And Hazbin Hotel was a pilot that her name is Vivian.
Vivzy Pop.
Vivzy Pop is her YouTube name or whatever.
Yeah.
It's set in her world of this is what hell is like. It's a very adult cartoon.
Man, I want to like it so bad because it is gorgeous. The character designs are so good.
And the voice acting is really good.
Yeah, and the animation is excellent, but it's just not funny.
Sometimes it is.
I just don't think it's funny.
I haven't sat there and cracked up or anything.
Yeah,
like that,
I don't think it's even gotten a chuckle out of me. It's so concerned with how edgy it can be. And it thinks that a joke is saying a dirty word or somebody being mean to somebody else is a joke.
Oh.
That it forgets to, like, actually write jokes.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy with her. Like, I've heard a lot of stuff where people talk about how her professional portfolio is a lot of like traced work and not an actual work of her own.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I went. There was a big
art drama.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, like Hazbin Hotel is a lot of fun. And it's got some good musical numbers, and it actually kind of builds out this world that she's trying to build. But they keep producing these episodes of the spinoff show that has Richard.
Yeah, they actually got Richard Horvitz.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Alpha 5?
Yeah.
Or Invader Zim, yeah. But he basically does his Zim voice all the time.
Huh.
In this, yeah. It's kind of funny, because when she first put out Hazbin Hotel, they did a live stream, like, Q&A thing. And she talks about how she grew up watching Invader Zim, and that's what has inspired her to her art style
and
everything
she
does.
Yeah, and you can see that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then she actually got him to voice a character in one of her shows as a regular character.
Hmm.
I just wish the writing was better, because everything else is so good, and it just kills me that I can't enjoy it.
Yeah, and also the fandom's kind of getting worked up in a big old...
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things you can't criticize.
Oh, it's
either.
One of those. Oh.
Yeah.
Steven Universe syndrome.
Yeah.
You can't say anything negative about Steven Universe, because there's a large portion of the internet that will yell at you until, well, they'll just yell at you forever. So, okay. Hey, let's go ahead and take a break here. When we come back, we'll get into some news. Hey, we're back. That was Get Lucky by Daft Punk featuring Pharrell Williams.
And his big, big hat he wore
one
time.
And his giant hat.
His Arby's hat he wore one time.
Yeah, it's his be happy hat.
It's his lucky hat. He gets lucky while wearing that big old big hat. Yeah, we play that song because, unfortunately, Daft Punk announced that they are no longer French robots or friends.
Yeah,
they've
become incompatible.
Yep, one is Mac, one is PC.
Man, I remember those commercials.
Those were great commercials.
It sucks though, because they're great.
Yeah.
They were a great group, and they're almost all of their music is amazing. And there's some good movies they did also.
Mm-hmm. They were easily the best part of Tron Legacy.
I was just getting ready to say that.
And their animated film, Interstellar 5555, is super good as well.
I would like to say that Olivia Wilde is the best part of Tron Legacy. But
Co-best?
Okay.
Co-best. Yeah, that's very true. Olivia Wilde was pretty great.
Big fan of Quora in Tron Legacy.
Yeah. Even if she were... both the damsel and the MacGuffin.
Yeah. And also a computer program that can exist outside of a computer somehow.
Don't think about it.
They Codelioco'd it.
Except I want to think about it because it's Tron.
Yeah. Well, Daft Punk, let's hope that you continue to be French robots somewhere down the line in the future. Just not right now.
It's kind of wild how, like, I don't think we've, like, literally, like, all the years they've existed, I don't think anyone's actually seen their faces.
They've done a few interviews.
Have they?
Yeah.
Have they?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I
they've thought, done a few interviews yeah. without the helmets. Without the helmets. When they first came on the scene, no, they were very much into the kayfabe of, like, no, we are French robots that make music. That is us. We are robot. But no, they've done some interviews without the helmets on.
I wonder if they'll do separate, they'll go separate ways.
I'm sure they'll start producing. They'll probably start producing, and 10 years down the road, they'll do like a get together tour or something like that. Comeback tour.
The stronger, faster tour.
Yeah. So, the even stronger, much faster. All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and get into some news.
Jackpot.
I almost thought it was take it to the fridge.
I've been using take it to the fridge a lot lately, and so...
Very nice.
Jackpot. Anyway.
Anyway, hey, do we want to talk about game news or non-game news first?
Because that's all we got.
Because that's all we have.
Well, I mean, what else is games and movies is pretty much what we talk
about.
That's
true.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, I guess I could tell you about comic books. DC's not doing great.
No.
Anyway. Okay, let's get the one that's not games, not Paramount, out of the way. Spider-Man revealed the title of their third movie. Or I guess Marvel revealed the title of their third. Tom Holland after, revealed it. You know what?
After three fake-outs.
Yes. Yes. But it's Spider-Man No Way Home.
Which is in line with all the other titles they had.
Mm-hmm. And this is after Tom Holland and two of his co-stars independently announced two wrong titles of the movie. It was like Spider-Man Home Slice and another. They all had home in them because that's the thing.
Yeah,
it was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny, and also it was pretty funny seeing news outlets
go nuts about it.
What does this mean?
The new one is called Home Slice. Can you believe it?
There's three titles. Is there three multiverses?
Is it three movies? Three Spider-Mans? Yeah, but No Way Home. That's a really good. That's a really good name, and
it could really, really go a lot of different ways, because especially with the way they ended the last film.
Yeah, if he's not able to go back to his normal life.
I mean, he's been outed as Spider-Man. The world thinks he's a murderer.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. It's really clever.
Yeah, also, it could go with the multiverse aspect.
Ooh,
where
he might be trapped.
Yeah, and this might be the way that they get Spider-Man out of the MCU because this is the last movie that Marvel Studios and Sony are working together on.
Currently.
So it could be that there is physically no way for him to come home to the MCU, so they have to go to a multiverse
with Jared Leto's Mordo or whatever it is.
Oh, Morbius?
Yeah, Morbius.
Morbius and Tom Hardy as Venom. You know what? Have you seen that Venom movie?
Yes.
I liked it.
I liked it. I liked how
stupid it was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I also liked how...
It wasn't a good movie,
no,
but I liked it.
No. How, like, in a lot of superhero movies, you always have, like, your male lead or whatever, like, you know, have some kind of, like, shirtless muscle moment or something. Tom Hardy looks like he's been, like, two steps from death the whole film.
He's
drenched in sweat. He's dirty.
He's got
a pot belly. He looks awful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he is. They made him so unheroic looking.
Would you say he looks like a turd in the wind?
In the wind? Yeah.
Oh, and that weird part when Venom attaches himself to his girlfriend.
And Venom lady starts smooching Tom Hardy, and then the Venom, like, goes from one person to the other.
Yeah.
I mean, that was weird.
Ew. I hated that part.
It was something. But hey, Woody Harrelson as a clown.
Jenny Slate was in that movie.
For like 5 minutes
and
then
she
died.
She's great.
Or
she died? Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the banter between Venom and Eddie are pretty good.
Oh, yeah. It's a buddy cop movie.
With one actor.
Yeah. But yeah, Spider-Man No Way Home. I think it's a good name. I think it works.
Speaking of news outlets being nuts.
Yeah.
Every little detail on WandaVision has sparked just some of the worst think pieces I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
Well, it's very hot right now. And websites
WandaVision's so hot right now.
And websites pay their writers by the clickbait.
It does feel like that nowadays.
It's a lot of clickbait. It's very, yeah.
Like, I've seen so many articles where, like, I see some sensationalized title and I'm like, what? And I'll click it and it's like this much of nothing. And I'm like, oh, well, that was a waste.
What does it mean that Catherine Hahn looked to the left in this scene for 2 seconds? Yeah, is the Fantastic Four over there? Probably.
Every time anyone looks off screen, Galactus is just slightly off camera. Just a little bit. You can never see him, but he's just right there.
I mean, you totally missed it, but in the one scene, the jeans guy from The Mandalorian made a cameo. Yeah.
Wanda's kid was wearing a red shirt, so this means that...
It's the Red Hulk.
It's the Red Hulk.
The Red Hulk's coming. Yeah. He got mad and he was wearing red.
I mean...
There you go.
Some of the costume choices in that show definitely do seem like they have a specific purpose.
We're talking more about people taking non-issues and writing stupid articles around them. Yeah. Comicbook.com is the is the worst of this.
I never go to comicbook.com. It drives me nuts.
There's another website, wegotthis.com. Not a single thing they've ever written is true. It is all made up for clicks. That's it.
You sure it's not a satire site?
No, it's not satire. They are actively putting out lies because,
for clicks.
Because if it were satire, they would be funny. Mm. It would be like the Hard Times or the Hard Drive magazine where with articles like, man is too good to play fighting games with friends, but not good enough to do well in competitions. Or
my favorite, I think is Hard Times, was Nintendo reminds everyone that they can, in fact, play Breath of the Wild again if they wanted to.
Oh, man, those guys are so funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's keep talking about stuff. Let's go on to more non-game news before we do the game news. There's a whole bunch of Paramount stuff, right?
Yeah, Paramount Plus, they announced that at the Super Bowl, and there was a big Viacom investors meeting, I guess, and they announced all the fun and exciting new shows coming to Paramount Plus.
Well, which shows do you want to talk about, Cody?
Well, they're bringing Rugrats back, and all the original voice actors are in it, and now it's CG, and there's a little clip, and it looks like Rugrats, but less wiggly.
Yeah, they are definitely less wiggly. I was kind of hoping their 3D models would just vibrate constantly just yeah. a little bit.
You see Dill in the background T-posing?
Yeah. You know, I actually didn't see Dill or Chucky Finster's adopted, like, half-sister.
Oh,
that's true.
So maybe they're rolling it back to original cast, original whatever.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Because the more stuff they would add, the worse it got.
I was never a huge Rugrats fan to begin with, but
I loved the Rugrats when I was a kid the movie, and then everything after the movie seemed... I just wasn't into it anymore.
I mean, I lived on Nickelodeon for a good chunk of my young life.
Yeah.
My sister really liked Rugrats. There were a lot of hours spent playing the Rugrats Nintendo 64 board game. It was like Mario Party.
Oh, no, that's awful.
Yeah, Mario Party, but Rugrats.
Oh.
I've seen Let's Plays of that. It looks like a nightmare.
It was a real nightmare. It was, yeah. I mean, it was playable. It's not like it was, like, the worst thing.
I realized I should have opened this news item by going, ba-ba!
Very good. I like it.
Actually, there was, like, a handful of Nickelodeon-related news on there.
Yeah. I didn't write this down, but I guess they're making more iCarly. That's something that some people care about, I think.
Is it, like, with the same actors?
I think, and they're, like...
They're like
quite a bit older now.
They're like pushing 30 at this point.
Yeah, they're like full on adults now.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
iCarly all grown up.
I mean, that's what it's going to have to be.
They've gone from like the lowercase I to the uppercase I in iCarly.
Now it's I, comma, Carly, like
yes.
I, robot.
It's more professional.
Yeah.
Maybe she starts solving crimes and it's a stealth reboot of Murder, She Wrote. Murder, comma, iCarly.
She vlogged.
Murder, She Vlogged. Yes.
No, she has a murder podcast
that's
now.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
let's see. What other Nickelodeon
stuff? We're doing more amazing writing ideas. We're just giving away these great ideas on this show.
Giving away gold.
Trademark. Stamp.
iCarly reboot, or not reboot, future, where she's a murder podcaster. Yep.
Okay, so there's another show that is getting a reboot. And what is this? Let me dig underneath this pile of scrambled eggs.
Tossed salad.
And all this tossed salad. Oh, hey, look, it's a Frasier.
That's right. He's coming back.
That hot property, Frasier.
Yes.
Dr. Frasier Crane.
I mean, I liked Frasier more than Cheers. I'm just going to say it.
No, I like Cheers much more than Frasier.
They've confirmed Frasier. Kelsey Grammer is involved. That's all they said. What? Which, I mean, you can't have a Frasier without Frasier, so they got that right.
No, I mean, they could. They could try.
It could have been about his son.
It could be a Connors situation.
It could be a Niles Frasier. Yeah. Niles is also a Frasier.
It's true. You could still call it Frasier and just be Niles.
Does Frasier get to fall off a stage and yell, "Oh, good Lord.
Oh, good Lord." Yeah, it doesn't seem terribly relevant
No.
to have Frasier come back, but why not? Everything else is coming back.
Listen, Frasier's not doing anything else. Or not Frasier. Kelsey Grammer. He's Frasier, okay? He's just Frasier. Like, Frasier was in that Money Plane movie, and that didn't do diddly anything.
He's also Hank McCoy.
Yeah, once.
Once.
He got replaced. Couple of times. He comes back as in Days of Futures Past at the end.
Briefly, for one line, so he can get paid.
I would.
Anyway, Beavis and Butthead movie.
Yeah, they announced this with like a Zoom call from Beavis and Butthead. It's pretty funny. You should watch it.
Okay.
But I'm stoked about this because I love those dumb boys. Why not? If Mike Judge wants to do it, then do it.
Sure.
They already brought him back once in the mid-2000s, and it was like they had never left.
Yeah. Like as long as there's more material for him, why not?
I mean, they could make fun of anything.
Yep. Last thing we have on here for the Paramount Plus app is the Nickelodeon Star Trek.
Yeah, they're doing a Star Trek kids show, I guess, called Star Trek Prodigy, and they released an image of it of like four aliens, and it does not look like Star Trek at all.
It looks like Star Wars.
Yeah, they all look like, you know, grungy.
They're alien races, and they're all dirty alien races. And yeah, your mind goes straight to Star Wars.
Yeah, I posted the picture in our group chat, and I cut out all of the Paramount and like
the Star Wars stuff,
the Star Trek stuff, and said, "Can you guess what beloved franchise these characters are spinning off from?"
And yeah, it just looks—it's a Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're trying to prove with this one.
I don't know.
Not a single one of them even has like a Federation logo on their clothes.
Or any logo from any of the factions in Star Trek.
Yeah. Why even call it Star Trek? I mean,
if it's not a Star Trek. Yeah. Yeah.
But to be fair, the Star Trek universe is bigger than the Federation. It just happens to be the main part.
Yeah. The Federation is the interesting part.
I mean, they might as well call it the Backyardigans. Like, it doesn't look like anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why I went there, but like...
Hey, why not? Yeah. Sure.
I mean, like I said, they announced a bunch of stuff on, like, coming out of Nickelodeon, because like there's the Star Trek thing. I guess they're doing another Transformer series, but it's going to be more geared toward children.
Okay.
That's what Transformers is for.
Yeah.
No, it is for adults. It's for adult man children who love gritty things.
Oh, they did announce, this isn't Paramount related, but the next My Little Pony, like, Jen, an image for the new ponies came out.
Oh, yeah. I saw Jenny Nicholson on Twitter.
That one's CGI,
excited
too.
For that, right?
What?
Yeah, it's CGI. Yeah.
And I mean, it looks fine. And then, of course, there's people mad about it, and it's like, well...
I'm going to watch exactly as much of that as I did the all Friendship previous versions of, of My Little Pony, which is a zero. No shade to people who do, yeah. Josh.
It's like, I don't like this. It's like,
I haven't touched that in years. Thank you.
This doesn't appeal to me. Well, good.
It's not supposed to. Yeah, I have no interest, and that's okay. Yeah. It's not for me.
I mean... But you like the one, that's fine, but that one really wasn't for you either, so why do you expect this one to be?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the big news that got me really excited about the whole Nickelodeon Viacom stuff was the guys who created Avatar The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to write that one down.
Nickelodeon is giving them a whole production studio to themselves.
That's awesome.
Called just Avatar Studios. And their sole purpose is to make more Avatar-related media.
That's fine.
And the first thing they have on their slate is an animated movie.
Sure.
What it's about? Don't know. It's.
I like that Nickelodeon finally realized people really like that show.
Well, I mean, I think ever since it went to Netflix, like in for everybody, not
and
just
people lost their collective minds over it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I like the original Airbender show. I've watched through it once, and it was fun, and it was good.
I love the whole world. I love the whole mythos.
It's an interesting concept.
Oh yeah,
for the show. I didn't like Korra all that much, but then again, I may not have given Legend of Korra
a fair shake.
I'm interested in seeing more of that kind of stuff.
I mean, and they've always kind of done stuff. I mean, they've put out a bunch of comics. A novel came out not that long ago.
Yeah.
Highlighting one of the previous Avatars.
There was that great live action film.
I don't know what you're talking about. They never made a live action movie.
There's one in production now. There's in production now.
Stupid Netflix one. It's probably going to be bad now.
They're making a Halo show, too. Showtime is producing a Halo show for Paramount Plus.
Oh, boy. We can watch John Halo run around and shoot things.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da.
Da-da-da-da.
All right, so hey, we are running short on time, so we got to fly through a couple of these real quick.
Let's get those Pokemon.
Yeah, let's talk about Pokemon.
Yeah, let's do it. The Pokemon Company had a short, it was technically not a Nintendo tied in, so it's not a direct, but it was called Pokemon Presents or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's what it was called.
Okay, and it's, they're doing a bunch of stuff because this is the 25th anniversary
of Pokemon.
The original Red, Blue, and Green. And
I'll be out back digging my grave because I'm old.
Same.
Yeah, got called old at work today, and...
And Pokemon being 25 years old doesn't help.
No.
I remember when it came out.
Yep. But no, they put out like a 20-minute video announcing a couple of new games, and it started kind of shaky with that 5-minute video of them. I mean, they showed every single peripheral and game and everything that has been for every generation, and it was cool for the first minute. But then it went on and on for 5 minutes.
It really made you think that they were going to announce something real big
at the very end of it.
And then they didn't.
There's like, nope, this is all of them.
I mean, they did announce the next game.
They did. Yeah. So they're going to be releasing two new games, both for the Switch. One is the remake of Gen 4.
Diamond and Pearl. Whatever gen that is.
I think it's 4 because 5 is the Unova region and that's Black and White. So it would be Gen 4.
I like this one, honestly. I thought it looked cute.
Yeah.
I thought it looked accurate to the original game.
Yeah, it harkens back to the, like, it doesn't look like Sword and Shield.
They look kind of like sprites. They actually look a lot like the Link's Awakening remaster Switch. Kind of chibi, squashed-down style.
Yeah, yeah. It's just art. Not quite as artful as Legend of Zelda, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, they don't look like toys. Yeah. In Link's Awakening, they look like toys, which is fine, which is great for that style. But no, it looks good. It looks like it's going to be a pretty faithful adaptation of Diamond and Pearl. It's called like Shining Diamond and
Brilliant Pearl.
Brilliant Pearl, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you want to, if you're just making a remake, I don't think you want to tread that far from the source material.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, though, if they're going to throw in any, like, kind of the gimmicks from the later games, like Gigamaxing or Mega
sure
Evolutions.
Well, the last time they did this, it was Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, and they added Mega Evolutions to that.
Oh, that they did.
And that whole additional chapter, too.
Yeah. So I have no doubt they're going to add probably Gigamaxing or something to it.
Because that was the latest gimmick.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't think it was bad. A lot of people think it looks terrible for some reason.
It doesn't look terrible.
Yeah.
Well.
And I love how the text boxes look like the original text boxes.
Well, you know, the thing is with Pokemon, no matter what they put out, there's no one who's going to hate on it more than Pokemon fans.
It's true.
Pokemon fans are never satisfied with anything.
Star Wars fans.
it's a lot like that at this point.
I'm sure the Venn diagram is pretty close on that.
It's almost just a solid circle.
Yeah. The other game they announced is an open world, a Breath of the Wild style game, or at least it looks to be that way.
Like it even opened the same as the Breath of the Wild trailer with like a sweeping shot toward the main character looking off the side of a mountain.
Mm-hmm. But it is called Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Yes.
Yeah, and it takes place in the past.
In the past. It's like Pokemon.
It looks like feudal Japan.
Kinda, yeah.
Except the male character has a very modern looking hat.
Yeah, he has a stupid hat, but he's wearing, I'm sorry, Josh, he has it's a very nice hat that everyone would love to see.
It's stupid on him.
It looks stupid on him.
Oh, okay.
It's bright red. It doesn't fit with the rest of his outfit.
Oh, yeah, because the rest of his...
It's the color. That's the color is the problem, yes.
I know. No, it's not even that. It's just the fact that his whole outfit looks like, I don't know, he's got like, he's got straw sandals on and everything. He looks like he's like straight out of like a Kurosawa film.
Yeah.
And then he's got like, you know, this modern newsboy hat.
It's weird. It is kind of weird.
Yeah, I can't. I wish I knew what era, like Japanese era, they were trying to do, because it's hard to tell. And like their costumes are too similar color too.
Yeah.
I mean, it honestly, given with the way Japanese aesthetic is, it could be anything prior to 1864. No, I'm dead serious. That was the modernization of Japan.
Well, anyway. Clothing aside, yeah. the gameplay looks pretty interesting. It looks like it's going to be a lot of like physically sneaking up on Pokemon and throwing balls at them to catch
and
them.
And then the Pokemon battles don't look like your standard Pokemon battle. Like,
oh, I thought they did.
I thought they kind of did. There's more camera movement.
Yeah, it looked like you're actually moving around the Pokemon as they're fighting.
No, the camera is spinning around them, but they're just standing in one place.
It looks like it's not going to a different screen for the battle, which is something they should have done a long time ago, I think.
Yeah. The other thing, it looks as though the battles, I didn't see anywhere where you had multiple balls for like your team. It looked almost like it is going to be
one-on-one,
and you have to decide which partner you're going to be with for this run, or this like almost like a Monster Hunter kind of situation where you get a job posting, and you have a quest to catch X type of Pokemon or do X, Y thing. And you have to decide, okay, I should probably have like a ground type for this one. So I'm going to go and grab my ground type and then we'll go out and do the thing and come back, which that's interesting. That's a different style of gameplay that from every other Pokemon game. I'm looking forward to it. Although to be honest, it's kind of burn on Sword and Shield. That game is kind of underwhelming, so I'm going to have to see more of this before I make the decision whether or not I'm going
to
buy it.
It's such an underwhelming concept that to just go, it's Breath of the Wild, but it's Pokemon. Like
it reminded me like if you took Breath of the Wild and then you took the wild area from Sword and Shield and just kind of mashed it together.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet somewhere. Somebody said, in 2024... there'll be two genres, Breath of the Wild and Fortnite.
you shut up.
Well, listen, Fortnite's going to have every character ever in it.
It's true.
It's happening.
Until Nintendo puts out their own Battle Royale. That's not Smash.
That's what Splatoon 3 will be.
I'll play it.
You know what? There are rumors that is going to be a mode in Splatoon 3.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. It'd be a smart move, honestly.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
That one of the maps is much... The reason they moved it to the desert is so they could justify having a much larger map and you can get in...
In a giant Battle Royale style.
Yeah.
The other thing about this Pokemon game is weird is that they're still using Pokeballs.
Even though it's the past.
Yeah, and they look different.
They have manual clasps on the front.
But the concept behind the Pokeball is that it turns the Pokemon from a living creature into data stored in the ball. And that doesn't make sense in the past.
True, but also there are previous games in which you shake trees to get apricorns and that then crafted into handmade artisanal balls.
This is true.
So
didn't the Pokemon anime like show you what the inside of a Pokeball actually looks like?
No, I don't think so.
Because I thought there was like a picture where like, you see like a little Dragonite just kind of sit in the ball.
Yeah, because they turn into data, and that's how you put them on a PC. Because when they're in the ball, they're computer data. That's how I've understood it.
They're jacked into the Poke Matrix.
Yeah, kind of. Maybe it's a situation where they've always been data, but in the past, you know that, was it the Asimov or Heinlein quote, all magic is just
science, but you
science,
don't understand.
Science that is so far ahead of your time that can't understand it. Something.
Or maybe it's just straight up magic because Pokemon's weird.
Or maybe they won't explain it because it's a Pokemon game and who cares?
And they don't care.
Yeah.
Why not roll it back even further and now it's Monster Hunter, but the Pokemon are the monsters?
Make everything Gigantamax, have them all be giant, and you just run around. maybe give your Dragonite a sword or something.
Like seriously, a Pokemon themed Monster Hunter would be
that
rad.
That would be pretty great.
Like team up with your four regular human friends and fight a Charizard.
That would be pretty great.
And they could all be huge. Maybe Pokemon used to be huge and they've got smaller over time.
Yeah, that could be it.
I would accept that.
Yeah, me too.
So anyway, the quote.
Yes.
So in 1962, Profiles of the Future, Arthur C. Clarke said... said, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
There you go. There you go. Well, hey, we have actually hit time, so we're going to have to wrap things up. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can send us an email, staff@nerdoverload.com, or also give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline, 586-372-8020. Leave us a voicemail and we might play it on the show.
That's right. You can also find all of our back episodes over on various podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Your voicemail prompt for this week is, who is your favorite starter Pokemon?
It's Rowlet.
Grookey.
Cyndaquil.